Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. This is Carl Linda Bott, and welcome to a catch-up show. That's right, catch-up. We're going to try and catch up on all the things that are happening before we go into our Thursday show with the State of Jefferson. But let's go to the crew. Hey, Frosty, the producer, are you ready?
Yeah.
Ready to rock?
Yeah.
Okay, hey, Soulmate, you ready?
Are you amped up this morning or what?
I have got to stop using this much coffee.
You only had a cup. On the way to work today, oh my gosh, driving down Hartnell. If you're listening, young man in the 64 Ford, I'm not sure what that's called.
Econoline.
Isn't it Econoline? It's half van. The front looks like a van and the back looks like a truck.
What a great looking vehicle you got, son. He was driving. He says, no, there's a lot of them out there. Well, we have conventions.
Of course, we had to roll the window down and say, what is it? 64. What year is it? 64. Four speed on the column. It just went right past us, man. It was just really, it was a trip.
It was great.
So, Cool. Keep it going because I love to see the older cars on the road like that. That's really neat.
Okay, now let's get down to some business. We got a quick, we got a busy show here today. Okay, Border Patrol agents Campion and Ramos sentences were commuted by President Bush. It meets obviously the hundreds and thousands of our listeners called and wrote to the White House, and they were the ones I'm sure that pushed President Bush over the top. So, now, it doesn't mean that they're pardoned, but it was commuted, which means they get out of jail.
Yeah.
They should have never been in jail. I mean, we can talk about all types of reason, but you know what? They didn't need to go to jail for that. Not for 10 years. Not when the guy they arrested, while he's on, he has immunity from the government, so he can testify against him, brings another 700 pounds of marijuana across the border.
Yeah.
Give me a break. Come on.
Well, you know, y'all might be inaugurated out. So, but we're going to, take your calls today, 221-1402. We want to find out, what did it mean to you? How do you feel about it? But you know what I've got to say is that I think the people that really booed Bush on the way out, that was just in such bad taste. Here's a day of celebration, new beginning. We're going, changing of the guard. You don't need to kick somebody and just trash.
You know what? You should be happy.
Ask me how I feel.
Be happy for the the change. But to trash somebody, here's the thing: is that job is not an easy job. And I don't care who it is.
Not that we could relate.
There isn't a person here. When I look at comedians on late night and I look at Saturday Night Live, what in the hell have you all ever accomplished? Have you even left your millionaire homes and your multi-million dollar estates? How many of you have ever gone over and visited the troops? How many of you even talked to anybody that's, along the streets there? They all talk about it. But what have they accomplished? Hey, David Letterman, what have you ever accomplished in your life besides being on the show and making millions of dollars a year by poking fun at people who have got more courage and more guts than you'll ever have? And I'm just using David Letterman as an example. It could be anybody. But here's the thing is, if nothing else happens during this administration, if we bring civility back and there's not a person here, and we are diverse people in this studio, everybody's shaking their head up and down. If nothing else, if we can bring civility back into the national level in politics and our way of handling and working with each other, guess what? That's a success as far as I'm concerned. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. When we come back and talk city council, we're going to talk about a number of things. We'll talk about what you did, what you felt about the inauguration, and we're going to talk about a hero of the North State. Join us on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the state. Espresso Joe's for that coffee you want. They do wholesale and retail. Joe and Shelley are some of the finest people you're ever going to meet.
Locally owned.
Locally owned. Okay. Yesterday, somebody called in and said that their daughter had received an IOU instead of the unemployment check. And I tell you, Senator, you know, Onstad did not refute this. Now, I thought, well, you know what, let me just check on this. So I called Chang's office down there, and Chang, of course, is the comptroller of state, and talked to their public affairs people. He was surprised to hear that somebody got an IOU. There was going to be delays. There are going to be delays in so many programs. Education was not going to be a delay. They said initially it was going to be, but now it looks like that it won't. They'll still be paying on time. The delays were supposed to start on 1 February. He said he had not heard about an IOU, but the IOUs could begin at the end of February or in March. He said the problem with IOUs is once you start issuing IOUs, you can't borrow money anymore from the big guys. Well, I mean, we've already got a problem here already in the state. But he said that, you know, he said, now there will be delays and everything. And yeah. So the IOUs is the last resort. But if people are getting those, I sure would like to know about it.
And this is his people talking.
Well, this is Chang's people talking.
Yeah.
But he said they're not up on everything. It could be one of the entities could be doing that. But if they did, he was very surprised by it. He was very helpful. And, he sent me a couple of websites to take a look at, which I did, and which is what they said. However, the fact is that the delays are beginning, that you're not going to get your tax refund back. And the things that people were saying last night or yesterday on the show are very true. You know, I pay into unemployment. Why, if 10% or 11% are unemployed, that means 90% are still paying. Why isn't there any money in there? And the reason is they just have just taken all the funds out of that. So that's not there. And the other fact is that we could cut back on our spending, but they can't even agree on that. Anyway, we're still pursuing this. So if anybody's got any information on that that's newer than mine than yesterday, please let us know. We got a letter or an email the other day, and it's pretty cool. And I'm not going to say what her name is, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase part of it. But she says, you know, what can I do? I have heard 3 times now about tenants evicted from their homes due to not paying their utilities. Why isn't this a priority for the city council? I understand there are some that take advantage of the system, but there are also people who want to work who have been victims of the crimes of those who were elected to watch over us. Not to pay our bills, but to assure us that nothing illegal is being done with our money, our government. They should have foreseen this. For those who want to work, this is not their fault. It's the politicians. Tell REU to send their bills to the government. Sorry, I probably went off on tangent. I don't know enough to even voice my opinion, but I don't want to sit here on the sidelines anymore. I'm truly afraid of our future. Tell me what I can do.
Well, you were there last night.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I wrote back to her. And I said, this is a great letter. Yes, obviously you can talk about it because you do understand it. And at the city council last night, they addressed a number of things, and this was one of them was with REU. And the way you do get involved is by going to the city council meetings, by writing letters, by volunteering to help with these things.
You get home at 11:45 and they still were going.
Well, you know what? They were. Now, one of the big things that came out of the city council last night was they killed the new police station. You know, they had the plans that were being drawn up, but the architects had spent like 45% of the money, a lot of it since November.
Ooh.
And so what they did is they just put that on hold to save that money. Now, that money's a grant. And the argument was that, look, we cannot afford a $32 million police station. Well, then, architect came back and said, no, it's only $20 million. Well, yeah, the cost of it was only $20 million. It's the other $12 million that goes along with it. To finish out the build, including $5 million for fees and the overrides and this. It still came out to $32 million. Well, this was brought up. Mr. Dickerson said, look, you know what? We should be able to let's finish up the plans so we can take a look at everything. And then Mr. Jones came back and said, wait a minute. He said, we can't afford this. There's just no way we can afford this much money when we do a retrofit. We haven't even looked at retrofit. You know, not really. Well, that went back and forth And so they did a they took a motion on it to kill the new drawings and to look at the retrofit. And they voted Vice Mayor Jones or Mayor Bassetti and Councilwoman MacArthur voted to kill that. And let's look at now. So now we're going to a refit of a building here in town.
And that was finished at 9, and then you went on to the REU.
Then we went into the REU. That was a huge thing. Okay, so we've got to take a break here. It's Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS. We want to talk a little bit more about what was done last night and what happens when people get together and go to City Hall. Join us on the other side.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Carla Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's 44 degrees. The time is 8:24, and we're talking about City Council last night and what happened. Carl, you were there firsthand. What went on?
Well, you know what? It was great. I love seeing people participate in government. I mean, you know, you can't just stand on the sidelines and complain because guess what? Nothing's going to happen. But this time, the people, when they read that article, and that people are being evicted or could be evicted, it just struck a certain chord in people. And it's not just liberals or, you know, bleeding hearts, as some people would say. There's also conservatives and people that are taking the other side on this and says, you know what, there's something wrong with, that we're taking a family that's trying to work and trying to pay their bills, and we're just tossing them out. Well, the big thing last, and actually people showed up with signs, they showed up ready to lock and load, but it came on the docket so late. And, you know, Mary Stegall says, well, you know, we always do these things with the REU late at night. I guess probably because it used to be as nobody was interested in it. Well, I think on February 3rd, City Council, there's going to be a lot more people there. So you might want to run it early in the evening so that people that are there bringing their kids and everything to see how government works will have a chance to participate in this. That's my recommendation. Okay, what'd they come up with? The people that came out were very eloquent, that spoke. They talked about, you know, the morality of it and this. Now, let's go back to our stance here. You want to use drugs, you want to go to Disney World, and you don't want to pay your bill, too bad. You get to leave. If you're trying, you're just getting behind, especially in this economy, especially when they're just starting to delay payments, especially with all these things that are happening. You got to take a look at the situation. You got to be able to adapt. You got to be able to improvise. You got to be able to overcome. And if our government can't do that, we need to change the government. Last night, they want to form a group, a committee to handle this. But it gets right down to a city council, and I believe you care, is that you're the ones that can toss people out. It's up to you. It's not the code enforcement, guys. They are enforcing the codes that the city council puts together. So, did I hear him say there's going to be a moratorium on kicking people out, turning off electricity during the middle of the winter? No. We're going to form a committee. You know what a committee is? A committee makes a camel, and they all started out to make a horse, but a committee can make it look different. Why do we need 4 to 6 weeks for a committee? This is an important subject. Okay, form the committee, and in 2 weeks, for February 3rd, give a report to the people about where you are on this. Part of the problem is, and a lady last night said it, she says when you go to REU, they need an advocate there for people that are in trouble. Well, part of REU saying is that, look, we have our people down there, but it takes overtime, it takes extra money, it takes all this. Okay, $2.1 million in late fees. Take 5% of that. Use it for overtime. Hire somebody that can be an advocate. Fire, you know, that you're not giving away something. Nobody came in there saying we want it for free. Nobody said that. What they said was give our people a chance. Give our people a chance. Jim, good morning.
Morning. Hey, on the late fees, I had an idea that they put that money into when they do collect the money on the late fees, put it into a pool, and then when people that absolutely cannot pay their bills, they could use that money to operate on and tell these people to get back on their feet. But if they don't have enough money to pay their utilities and pay their rent, How in the world can they pay late fees and things like that? Because that just adds to the problem.
Well, that's the other thing, too, Jim, and that's a real good point that was brought up. You know, we're talking about some exorbitant late fees that are coming on to people. I mean, you know, you're a day late with your payment at $16, okay? And then, you know, it goes on from there. But to come back on, they're saying we have to make sure we have to, you know, take twice their average and all this. Again,
yeah, that's right.
It's if people are trying, if they are trying to work and do this, do we really want to punish them?
No. No, we do not. We want to try to help the people that are trying to work and do, because people are it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
But they did say that they paid $350,000 last year of debt.
Well, yeah, they had write-offs of $350,000. That's true. But I think that what Jim's talking about, what people were talking about last night is, let's take another way of doing things. Hey, Jim, we've got to take a hard break here. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Okay, you bet.
You know, Jim had a good point, as did the people last night. Okay, look, this is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio and News Talk 1400 KQMS. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. We're going to talk about the inauguration. Of course, we're going to finish today with a story about a hero, a real hero. Join us on the other side.
Welcome back. It's Carla Lindebot. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. That's right across from C.R. Gibbs. You want anything special in the jewelry department, go see Leonard, our friend over there. A man that you can trust, and we get our stuff there. So I also want to draw you to towards our website, which is freefireradio.com. We've got pictures coming up, going out. We love interacting with you. We get some really interesting emails. You give us juice. We want to be able to. This is your show. So we are the conduit.
If you don't hear back from us right away when you send us an email, it's because we're getting lots of emails. And I try to get to them every day, and I try to get them back to you. We appreciate every comment.
We're going to be joining up with Facebook and some things like that, too, so we can have a wall you can post things on as well.
That's right. And, you know, I try to put something new on there every day as far as the blogs about things that are going on. And there's comments about that. Now, let's kind of finish up with the City Hall thing is that, you know, are you the City Hall? You know, I the city wants to make a change. I felt that last night. And that was due to the fact that people got involved. So it doesn't make any difference if it's an REU thing or if it's you know, something else that's happening in our community. What this shows is that if people get involved, they can change things. They can change the way City Hall works. So you need to get involved with our community. Our community is a great community. It's a giving community. It's a community that stands tall. And it's not perfect, though. Nobody is. None of us are. So it needs help sometimes, and it needs direction. And who gives the direction but the people? All right. Okay. Inauguration yesterday.
Some called it a coronation.
Yeah.
Some called it an inauguration. And
a million people in one spot saying the Lord's Prayer. Is what they said.
That's pretty amazing.
A million people in one spot. That to me is amazing. It's huge.
I think everybody that showed hope. That showed the promise of, okay, it's out with the old, in with the new. We have to come together. And there was every race, every ethnicity, religion, old, young.
Yeah. Tell us what you thought.
Foreign.
Do you feel hope? Do you feel like things are going to change? Do you think things are not going to change? One of the processes that we've talked about here is that, or one of the things we've talked about is where you've got change at the top, that's okay, you need to change. We elected a president who probably had the least experience, or some people are saying, of anybody that we've ever elected. However, he's got something that somebody said is that he's got this natural curiosity about how things work and how the way things should work. Which I found that interesting when they said that. But there's also the fact is what didn't change? Can he control that? We talked about how the Senate had passed or had agreed on a bipartisan bill about medical care and helping the children, and it was changed dramatically when they came back before the inauguration, and they made it really lean to the more liberal side, in the sense that they're giving a lot of things to the illegals. in our country. They're including them as they would a citizen. And that's just going to cost billions and billions and billions of dollars more. And I want to beat a dead horse because we're going to have a show on this. And speaking of illegals, remember if I talked to you a couple weeks ago about somebody named Sean Ford, who was headed up the Minutemen Americans Defense, you know, along the border, and how her husband had been shot three times, and then the next week they broke in, they assaulted, sexually assaulted her, they cut her, they beat her badly. I just got the word is that she was shot a couple of days ago.
Walking down the street.
Walking down the street. She was taking her walk, and she was in a place she thought she was safe. And a car came up alongside her, shot her twice and in the arm. Now.
But if they wanted to take her out, come on.
A drive-by shooting, and they shot her twice. So I don't know exactly what you would say about that. Except here's somebody that gets into people's faces about – about people coming across the border. I don't know. Maybe it's a payback. I don't know. But the thing is that she was shot twice on that. So we're going to have a show next week, and we're going to talk a lot about what's going on in our state with the illegals and how it affects us within the budget. And is there anything anybody can do? Which may be is that since we can't even pass a budget, I don't know if there's anything they can do anyway. I know at this point, the people that write to us and call us and talk to us are feeling just a little bit upset that they're starting to feel a little powerless. And they're starting to say, hey, maybe we need to make a sign or give a sign to our legislature. Maybe we need to march on the Capitol.
We have a little time here. Let's go to the phones.
Okay. Good morning.
At the end, which I agreed with. So, okay.
Hey, you're on. Good morning. This is Carl. You're on.
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Hey, how are you folks doing?
We're fine.
Hey, I heard they had a real jam up there at Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C. because all these people coming to the big inaugural party on their private jets.
Over 600.
Supposed to be an administration that's going to be, supposed to, the rich are supposed to behave like everybody else, but anyway.
There was over 600 of private jets that came in. They had to shut down one of the runways at Dulles.
Don't you love these limousine liberals? Anyway, that is the main thing I want to talk about. I tell you, George Bush, I kind of threw him overboard a couple years ago, even though I voted for him twice, but he ended on a good note. He finally gave clemency to those two guys, two Border Patrol fellas. I think he ought to outright pardon them. And on the illegal alien problem, that those two guys that went to jail over shooting an illegal alien, I don't know all the particulars of it, but it really stood out as a case in point that they didn't deserve what they got, and people that want to complain, just look at who some of the last-minute pardons that Clinton did on the way out.
Well, I don't know of anybody so far that's gotten really fired up about, I don't think anybody's really going to get too angry about the Border Patrol. I know that Clinton, when they gave clemency and they commuted sentences and pardoned the terrorist, FALN terrorist, and then this guy, Mark Rich, who was doing business with our enemies, and that his family had paid $450,000 to the Clinton Library and another $600,000 to the Democratic Party. And by the way, the guy that brokered that, his name is Holden, and he's going for Attorney General of the United States.
Yeah, really. I mean, you think next thing you know they're going to be giving caviar down there at Guantanamo while Border Patrol people that maybe did a mishap get thrown in the clink.
Well,
I'll tell you the best way to solve this. There's going to be a lot of Americans out of work in this economy.
Yeah.
And so I think there's going to be plenty of people who will do that kind of labor that wouldn't in the past. And the best way to deal with the situation, you can't blame these illegals for coming over trying to get a better way of life.
No.
And slap a $50,000 fine on any employer that hires one. Boy, that'll make them think twice.
I think you're absolutely right. You know what? And the thing is that will force them to do it.
You can do all this stuff, and you got to get to the root of the problem. You got to dry up the source of the reason why they're coming here is to work, and who can blame them for that?
And medical.
And becoming citizens.
The state of California's going to run out of cash. I suppose I think the bridge on Cypress Street's going over the Sacramento River's going to stop. All this money we're spent out. This may finally, this economic crunch may finally force the hand of some people who haven't wanted to deal with this to finally deal with it in amnesty and open the gates wider is not the answer.
Hey, Tom, we got to take a break. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Hey, you know, I get worked up on these stuff.
You got to stop holding it in. All right. Thanks, Tom. Hey, this is Carl Lindabaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines are lighting up. Join us on the other side.
Welcome back. It's Carla Lindabaugh here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We're going to get to the phones in a minute, but did you know that something fishy is going on, like counterfeit foods?
I can't believe this when you brought this in.
Some of your favorite foods may be fakes. Foods masquerading as something else, a more nutritious something else, have been big news in the past 2 years. Chinese food companies in particular have been blamed for making deadly alterations to dairy, baby and pet foods by adding melamine.
Yeah. Yeah, we know that.
All right. So what about the food producers in this country?
Okay.
Okay. What fraudulent foods do U.S. consumers have to fear from American companies?
Lay it on me.
Well, number one, seafood.
Uh-huh.
Fish is the most frequently faked food Americans buy. It's called species adulteration.
Okay, how do they
selling
do that?
A cheaper fish such as Penn-raised Atlantic salmon as wild Alaskan salmon.
Oh, okay,
salmon.
So they're just mislabeling it then, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And I'm going to go down the list here just for you to be on the lookout. Olive oil. Who would think?
Olive oil what?
There's olive oil fakery on the rise.
Oh, my gosh. It's because more people are using olive oil because it's got less, you know, it's got no fats, you know, long fats and all that.
Right. Connecticut began testing 2 years ago. They were coming across a lot of products labeled as extra virgin olive oil that contained up to 90% soybean oil.
Well, I tell you what, anything that's labeled extra virgin ought to be checked out real close.
Honey. And
yes.
I'm talking honey.
Yeah, darling.
Honey.
Okay, let's go on.
That comes from bees.
Right.
It's an expensive natural product that's mostly sugar. And honey is easily faked. If you can substitute a less expensive source of sugar for the expensive one, you could save some money and gain market there. That's what's happening. The last two are maple syrup and vanilla.
So they're just faking the stuff, and that, you know, and they're selling it to be the good stuff.
Aren't all the bees dead?
Well, you know what? There's a lot, and they don't know why. There's millions of these bees are dropping dead, and they're talking about bringing in Australian bees, but they're afraid that could cause even worse problems. Okay, Steve, thanks for waiting. Back on course.
Just had another comment on the City of Reading utility thing.
Sure.
Each month when I do my bill, I don't give much, but I give like $5 or $10 to the share program. There's a little box you can check.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And I just wondered who keeps track of that money, and is that money being used what it's supposed to be used for? Because I just started wondering about all this, is who keeps track of that, that makes sure that that goes to those people that need some help.
Well, you know, they addressed that last night.
Oh, did they? Okay.
They did, and that they have, you know, it's just, it's not a lot of money when it gets right down to it. It's like, you know, like $70,000 or maybe less than that, and people will probably know exactly. It comes out to like, if you average it out for the number of people, number of residents, it's like 20 cents per resident that give to that program.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that is a problem there.
I just wondered.
Well, it is, but they do. But you're right. I don't know who keeps track of it. I'm sure it's REU does somehow. But, and do they take any of that out, you know, for administrative purposes? I don't think so. But that's on their website if you go there. If you just,
okay.
And it's something to check. But it's really a good point you just had, though. So thanks, Steve.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Henry, City Council.
Carl, how are you doing this morning?
We're doing great.
Say, you were down at the City Council meeting the other day, and of course, when they form a committee, you know, I mean, they're just flagging you on, so they got a little more time to make you forget it, whatever you were down there for. But the thing I wanted to talk about was the bureaucrats and City Council, for the most part. There's a couple of straight shooters on there, but they can talk for an hour and completely circle a direct question. Now, they must go to school to learn to do this. I think it would behoove the city to pass an ordinance that all men that are contemplating marriage go to that school and cut the divorce rate by about 75%.
Oh, that's...
and, but you know, I see...
The guys are laughing.
Politicians, you have the county and the city, and not so much the council as much as the bureaucratic heads. and you ask them a question, and they go totally around the circle and never get to the answer.
Well, you know, a lot of times what happens is they don't know what the answer is. And so you give a generic, you know, a vanilla answer to a subject because they don't, you know, it's maybe something they haven't, you know, read up on, or they don't feel comfortable with. So they have to go to their staffs. Now, your staffs are your bureaucrats, and bureaucrats is not a bad word. It's just what they are. But they should be able to come back to you pretty darn quickly with what you want to know, especially if it's something that everybody's been talking about for 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, you know, it's a shame that it looks to me like the people ought to force a vote with the city council over this thing. If PG&E doesn't kick people out, and the city of Shasta Lake doesn't, and maybe the city of Corning doesn't, then I don't see why Redding doesn't. We ought to force a vote to that, and anybody that votes to keep that in, or doesn't vote to take it out, let's put it that way, should be recalled.
Well, Henry, here's what I think. And this is just what I think. The fact is that the city council has the final say on who gets evicted from their homes.
Right. And
so the part about that is this, is you need to ask the city council, you know, if you're going to evict people, then it ought to be a vote from the city council. You know, okay, every case should be a person and not a number, and say, okay, there's 4 people we're going to vote on this meeting to evict from their homes. And you see how many people get evicted that way.
Yeah, I think that would make a world of difference.
Oh, yeah. It's called holding people's feet to the fire, making them stand tall and shoot straight. Thanks, Henry.
Yeah. The next thing you know, you should increase your program an extra hour. You don't have enough time to cover all this.
Yeah, I know. You know what? Every day it's just, you know, it's like 40 things we write down and we get to 4 or 5 of them. But you know what? It's your show. It's whatever y'all want to talk about. You know, it's organized chaos here. Thanks
okay.
a lot. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
We'll see you on the other side.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. You know, people on the phone, we ordinarily go right to the phones, but we've got something here we need to do. We need to talk about the passing of a magnificent warrior and a true hero for this nation. His name was Colonel James E. Sweat. James E. Sweat was a Marine, and during World War II, he was awarded the Medal of Honor for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty in a daring fight to intercept a wave of 150 Japanese planes. First Lieutenant Sweat unhesitantly hurled his 4-plane division into this fight, 4 planes against 150. That day, Colonel Sweat shot down 7 enemy planes, and himself was shot down. It was damaged, so he had to he crash-landed his plane in the water and was rescued. Beyond that, this magnificent man continued to fight through this war. He shot down a total of 15 enemy aircraft. He then got out of the Marine Corps off active duty and stayed in reserves. And he came up to the Trinity Center. He was married. His 2 sons both went into the Marine Corps. One flew missions in Vietnam. You know, I've met Colonel Sweat, and what a true, honorable gentleman he was. A magnificent man. A magnificent warrior. We've got a lot to be proud of. His funeral services will be Friday. We'll be talking about that tomorrow, also on the show. I think they're going to be out at IGO at the Veterans Cemetery. If you have any time at all, I think it's going to be around noontime, but we'll give you the exact times tomorrow. You know, it's a time to pay homage to a magnificent man and somebody that gave so much. You know, the Medal of Honor is not given out easily, and it's not given out without a great deal of thought. And when a man receives that, he has gone so far beyond what is expected, so far beyond. At that point, he knows he's dead. He is given at that point, he knows he's dead. Because you don't think about death so much. But when you're in the middle of a fight like that, when there's 150 against 4, you don't really think you're going to be coming back. It didn't make any difference. What he was trying to do was slow down the attack. and what a magnificent job he did. And he continued to fight through the war. He was shot down again. Again, he was a hero, and he was a member of our community. And what a great man. You know, he always saw him. He always helped out, you know, the Purple Heart Club. He was always associated with things for our veterans in this community. You know, he never turned it down. He needs to be remembered, and that's why we're doing this here in the last part of our show. I realize there's people on the phone, and I'm sorry. You know, we will get back to the city council on this tomorrow. We're going to be doing the State of Jefferson tomorrow, which I think is important. But we've got room for everything because it is your show, and if we need to change the subject, we can do that. But today, it's honoring Colonel Sweat. The veterans that know him appreciated him and loved him. Again, I really hope that you can come out to his funeral to remember this man. Friday. This is Carl Lindabot here on Free Fire Radio. And you know, when I say it's the good guys against the bad guys, Colonel Sweat, he was a good guy.